Good morning. I want to thank everyone that came last Sunday night to the housetop premiere. We didn't get an exact count, but we had well in excess of 150 people, far more than we expected, and that is wonderful. I don't think we had enough Cokes or whatever. Jeannie said we ran a little low on some food, but I don't know if they came to see the production or to eat the popcorn that the Moores brought. I tell you what, man. I've never seen people climb all over each other to get a bag of popcorn like that, but we had a wonderful time, and it was fun. And don't worry, I'm not up here playing Angry Birds this morning. I will try to resist, if you will resist, sending text about the lesson like you might have saw last week. Last night, we also had a wonderful time at the Sweetheart Banquet. I want to thank Edna and Ozzie for the hard work that they did in that and to give us that time of fellowship and time to enjoy one another. I found out a little more about Harold and Patricia than I probably want to know. Definitely more about Polly and Denny than I ever wanted to know. But we had a good time. We laughed a lot. Somebody told me this morning they laughed and smiled so much it made their face hurt. That's pretty good, I think, if we have an activity that causes our face to hurt because we're smiling so much. But you know, it's wonderful to be with family, isn't it? It's wonderful to spend time with each other and love each other and enjoy one another. Open your Bibles. I'm going to read several verses here to begin our lesson this morning. Last week we talked about, go ahead and open to Luke 19 and verse 10. Last week we talked about, as we're talking about viral Christianity, we're talking about how we're going to reach the lost. We talked about first and foremost of all, people need to see Christ in us. They need to see the Christian life. We need to live in such a way that the Christian life that we show to others is infectious. That it is something that they want, it's something that they need, that they look at and they say, I wished I had what that individual has. And I've had people say that about different individuals. They say, you know, I met this person and they were so strong and their faith carried them through such difficult times. And I thought, why don't I have that? And they wanted it. And they found it in Jesus Christ. This is the person that showed it to them. So when we talk about evangelism, it's going to begin first with us showing people what Christianity is. And that's going to open doors. That's going to open doors of opportunity to teach them why we are the way we are. The opportunity to teach them about Jesus Christ, the one that is shining through us. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. Beginning with verse 18, Jesus there in the Great Commission says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Mark chapter 16, the sister text to what we just read, beginning with verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who disbelieves or does not believe shall be condemned. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 8, Paul says, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things in order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 22. The Apostle Paul, once again to the church at Corinth, says, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 14. Paul again says, "How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things.'" A few weeks ago, one of our classes studied this particular verse, and I had several young people, and I appreciate it so much, come up and thank me for having beautiful feet. Now, if you actually saw my literal feet, you'd probably say not so much. But the beautiful feet are those that bring glad tidings. When we do preacher's camps, when I've directed preacher's camps in the past, our first lesson to the boys was a lesson about how beautiful their feet are. That they want to go and they want to take the glad tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, all these verses that we just read, what do these verses tell us? Well, they tell us that we have a great responsibility. We have a great responsibility to teach the gospel. Every one of these verses are telling us that. They're telling us that we have that responsibility to make disciples of all people, to preach to all the creation, to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ, to reveal the manifold wisdom of God to the world, and to bring glad tidings of good things. Let me tell you what, there are no good things that even compare to the good things that we have to offer people, right? There are a lot of good things in this world, but there is nothing as good as the salvation of your soul. That's the greatest tiding that we can bring to someone else. That you can be saved, that there's hope in a world filled with hopelessness, that there is light in a world filled with darkness, that there is happiness and joy and peace in a world that is filled with turmoil. As Christians, we should understand that the command to teach others is as important to being a faithful Christian as living morally is, as attending worship is, or indeed any command of the Bible that you hold as important to the Christian life. I can tell you today that the command to teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ is as important as the command that you might think about as being very important. It is of equal value. Yet it is probably the most neglected command by Christians that I know of. How many people, and these are questions for you and for me to ask individually and to honestly answer in our own heart, how many people in 2011 did you speak to concerning Jesus Christ? Compare that number to how many you talked about football to, or basketball to, or politics too. How do the numbers match up? Honestly, as you look back over last year, do you believe that you fulfilled the commands of teaching others in your Christian life? Now, these are important items to consider and ensure that we are obeying in order that we might be pleasing to God. We are not called to a life of leisure. We are called by God to a life of service. The kind of life of service that Jesus Christ set the example for us, that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He did not come to be served. He came to serve that people might be saved. Do you realize, even this morning, what you can accomplish by obeying this command? Have you ever thought about that? What you can accomplish? What each of us individually can accomplish. Number one, you can contribute to saving a soul from the eternal fires of hell. Wouldn't that bring a smile to your face? I still remember the first person I brought to Jesus Christ. I was 14 years old on a campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Did the OBS study with a young man, and he decided to become a child of God. And it set me on fire. Folks, we need to get our children out there teaching the gospel too, because it will set them on fire. I see that moment as the moment that set me on the path that I am on today as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I saw how wonderful it was. I felt how wonderful it was to save someone, to take them to the one who could save them from hell, to lead them to Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful feeling. And let me tell you what. There's a lot of heroes in this world, but there's no greater hero than the person who snatches someone from the fires of hell. Be a hero today. You realize that in so doing and following these commands, you will fulfill your responsibility to God. And that no one's blood will be on your hands on the judgment day. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 3, God told Ezekiel, I have made you my watchman. And folks, we're God's watchmen today. He said, you go tell the righteous man, or you go tell the sinner, you tell them to sin not. And if they stop sinning, then you will have saved them. But if you don't go and tell them, if you don't go and tell them, and they continue to sin, they'll be lost. But I will require their blood from your hands. Folks, that scares me. How about you? I don't want blood on my hands, but I can honestly think about times when I should have spoken, I didn't. And I wonder. And I ask God to forgive me. But it's not just enough to keep avoiding saying anything and asking God to forgive. Somewhere He expects repentance, doesn't He? For us to change, for us to open our mouths instead of just hiding the truth of the gospel. You know, the song that we read just a moment ago is a sobering song. And when we think about when in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our soul may be, if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mention him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You met me day by day and knew I was astray. Yet never mention him to me. Wouldn't that be sad? To think back on all the opportunities we may have had to help somebody and we just never said anything, and then to have them in the judgment day say, why didn't you tell me? You obviously knew. Well, not only will you fulfill your responsibility and take the blood of lost people off of your hands because you gave them the opportunity, they still have to make the choice, but you will also aid in the growth of the church. I cannot single-handedly make this church grow. Neither can me and the elders. Churches that grow, congregations that grow, are congregations where everybody's getting involved in the bringing of lost souls to Jesus Christ. Those are growing churches. Churches where it's left to the preacher and the preacher alone rarely ever have any kind of sustained growth. Because one man just can't do it. Even at the beginning, Jesus started with 12, didn't he? He didn't start with one apostle. He had 12 apostles because he understood that growth was going to require more than one man. Or four men, or five men. And when we look in the book of Acts and the spread of the church and how rapidly it spread because when persecution came and the people were spread throughout the land, they all went out preaching, didn't they? They all went out teaching and the church spread like wildfire. Because its members were dedicated to spread the gospel. So we will aid in the growth of church. And you know, you also need to think that you never know what kind of impact someone you bring may have upon spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think so narrow. We live in such a moment that we don't think long term. We don't see long term. We don't consider our actions and their consequences long term, do we? What they have and what can come about as a result of our actions sometimes can be great, and we may not even have an idea or even think about it in that way. Let me give you an example. Open your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to spend some time there. John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 37, we see Andrew. Andrew is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. 12 times. Brother of Peter. Most of those 12 times are listings of the disciples. It's not even anything about Andrew. He's just thrown in there. So he's not mentioned a lot. But what did he do with the 12 times that he was mentioned? Verse 37 says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, "Come and you will see." And they came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, it was about 4 o'clock. You know, it must have been quite a time of learning. The two disciples here in context is Andrew and John. It must have been quite a time of learning for Andrew and John that evening with Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to spend an evening with Jesus Christ? I love spending an evening with all of y'all, but I'd much rather spend an evening with the Lord. To hear Him speak. To hear Him tell me what I need to do better, right? Get it from the source of the one that knows me best. Note that Andrew, though, first learned for himself what he needed to know, and then pay attention, and we're going to look and see and pay attention to what he did with that knowledge. The first thing Andrew did was find out what he needed to do, right? He came and said, "We want to talk to you, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say. Tell us what the truth is." So he found out for himself. Verse 40 tells us what he did with that knowledge. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found first his own brother and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. So what does Andrew do with this knowledge that he's been given? Andrew goes and tells somebody, doesn't he? He brings someone to Jesus. That's what we do. When we bring the truth to them, we're really bringing them to Jesus, aren't we? Giving them the opportunity to hear the words of our Lord, that He might help them, that He might heal their life. Andrew tells his brother Peter that he has found the Messiah, or the Christ, and that's a pretty bold and incredible claim. Jesus must have really had some incredible things to say that evening, right? Because Andrew's convinced. He's convicted. And he's speaking. Andrew brings his brother Peter to Jesus. Peter is mentioned, though, while Andrew's mentioned 12 times in the New Testament, Peter is mentioned 120 times. In the New Testament. Peter was a world mover. He made an incredible difference because someone brought him to Jesus. You know, what else did Andrew do? Really don't know. What else did Peter do? Well, he became the most prominent of the apostles. He preached the first gospel sermon. He took the gospel for the first time to the Gentiles. And much, much more. Andrew may have done great things in and of his own right. But we see what Peter did in preaching the gospel. You know, friends, I'll die one day. I'll breathe my last breath and I'll go home. And very many people on this earth may not remember me. There probably won't be any statues to me. There probably won't be a lot of books written about me, or any books written about me, for that matter. But you know, there may be somebody that heard a sermon, or sat in a Bible class, or that I taught personally, that will far exceed all that I do as a preacher. That will do incredible. Could be a guy in Woods. A Gus Nichols. Men that have been, Brother Marshall Keeble, men that have had profound effects upon the Lord's church just in the last century. Maybe one of them will be that kind of person. And I will have had a hand in that. But if I had been silent, if I had been quiet, if I had done nothing, that will never happen. You know, when I visited Mississippi, a young lady came up to me where my dad's preaching now. And she said, "You baptized me back in 1994. I didn't recognize her. She was just a kid when I baptized her. I said, "Who?" She told me who she was, and I remembered her. You know, but she is now a wonderful Christian young lady, taking care of her sister's children along with her own. The wonderful love that she shows in doing that, sacrifice that she's making for that. And I'm thankful for her and for what she's doing for the Lord in her life. You know, in John chapter 1 and verses 43 through 44, we continue to go on. Well, before I move past that, you know, there is a... Mack Lyon tells a story, and Mack Lyon has preached for many, many years on the search of the Lord's way, brought untold numbers of people to Christ, brought people to Christ and given them the opportunity, thousands and thousands of people in that national broadcast that they have. But Mack tells the story of how he became a Christian. He liked to build radios back when radio was a lot simpler than it is today. And he heard an old preacher. I don't even remember who the preacher's name was, see? While everybody knows Mack Lyon, very few people know the man who brought him to Christ. You can be that person. Don't look to be the greatest person in the world. Just look to bring great people, and in so doing, you will be great for the Lord. John chapter 1, again, verses 43 through 44, moving on, says, "The next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, this is a person who just kind of comes across Jesus accidentally, right? Doesn't seem, nobody brought him. It seems like they just came across. Jesus said, "Follow me," and he did it. Philip also learned of Jesus and chose to follow him. And what did Philip do after this opportunity? Jesus says, "Follow me." He obviously chose to follow him. And what did Philip do with that? Well, verse 44. "Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.' And Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' And Nathanael answered him, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.'" So what did Philip do? Philip followed the same pattern of Andrew by coming to Jesus, giving himself to Jesus, and then immediately going out and bringing somebody to him, right? We see a pattern developing here. I come to Jesus, I bring somebody to Jesus. See that? This series called Viral Christianity, isn't that kind of the essence of viral? You know, I get it, I send it, I get it, I bring it. You know, I'm out there making it happen, and the next person's making it happen. And it makes such a huge difference. Nathanael, I mean, here is a skeptic, right? Right? We talk about there are some people that are not real receptive. Nathanael's a skeptic. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You got to be kidding me. Who can come out of Nazareth and be any good?" But Jesus brings great praise upon Nathanael. While he was a skeptic, he was still an honest skeptic in that it says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile," no deceit, no deception. He was loyal to the law of Moses. He was not as many in his day were. He was not a hypocrite. Nathanael is most likely who we know as Bartholomew. Bartholomew is not a first name. Bartholomew is son of Ptolemy. Simon Bar Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. Bartholomew is most likely the last name of Nathanael. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke never mention Nathanael, and John never mentions Bartholomew. And Philip is always listed in conjunction with Bartholomew. Well, so two of the 12 disciples, brought by their efforts, two of the other disciples. So a portion of the disciples came as a result of the evangelistic efforts of those who had decided to follow Jesus Christ. They left us the example by their actions. And look at who they brought. Andrew brought family, didn't he? Went and told his brother. Philip brought a friend. He brought Nathanael. Peter and Nathanael did not become powerful followers of Christ by wishful thinking. They did not become followers of Christ because they sent someone else. They became followers because someone told them about Christ and gave them the opportunity to follow Him. Someone brought them to Jesus. What about us? We must know that it is the same. Wishful thinking will not save our friends. Wishful thinking will not save our family. There is no hope for them if we do nothing. Doing nothing never saved a single soul. Our constant theme in regards to the evangelism of our friends and family this year should be one thing. Do something. Do something. Do nothing off the list. Take it out as an option. And do something to bring friends and family to Jesus Christ. So what can you do to bring people to Christ? Well, I think there's a number of things. I think we know most of these things. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time dealing in them. You can certainly invite them to our services. You know, a lot of people have some strange ideas about the Church of Christ, right? You know we're a cult, right? Y'all pick up on that? You know, we're a cult, we're strange, we're bigots, we're a lot of things. But you know, when people start to say that, you need to say exactly what Philip said to Nathaniel. Why don't you just come and see? I want people to come and see the loving family here. Because I guarantee you, those things will be put to rest, won't they? So when they say those things, why don't you just come and see? I know what you've heard. And you're not going to listen to me if I tell you anything different. Come and see. Just come and meet the family of God. Work for Nathaniel. It'll work. Not for everybody. Understand, when we deal in evangelism, folks, you're going to have more rejections than acceptance. Just get ready for that one. Just prep yourself for it. More people are going to reject the gospel. That's the same thing happened with Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ couldn't get more acceptance than rejection, then neither will you, okay? Because He was the master teacher. No one did better than Him. And He still couldn't get the majority to follow Him. So you're going to have more people reject you than follow you, but you're going to have some follow. But you'll never find those few if you never open your mouth. If you don't do something. You know, you can't do anything for the people that reject. You can't do anything. That's their choice. They have to live with that choice. But you did your part. You gave them an opportunity. And they can never stand in the judgment day and say, you never mentioned Him to me because you say, yes, I did. And you said you wanted no part of it. You'll never have that blood on your hands, as God told Ezekiel. No, so we can invite them to services. We can invite them to our special events. Our Ladies' Day sounds like it's going to be a great day. 300, that sounds wonderful. We invite them to those kind of things. If they're young people, invite them to our youth rally. It's always a great time and shows a lot of love and dedication to Jesus Christ. Special seminars such as one on Islam later this year. So there's a lot of things that we have opportunities. Days such as our men's cookouts, we've had visitors come, and you know, it's a wonderful time to see that, you know, we enjoy one another as the family of God. And so we have an opportunity for them to come and see. Another thing we can do is to study the Bible with them. You know, whether you conduct the Bible study yourself, and some people I understand have a difficult time doing it. It has nothing to do with laziness. It has nothing to do with them not knowing the Bible. They just do not have the personality. It's very difficult. I understand that. And Jesus in the Bible makes very clear that there are people with different talents, right? Not everybody's a foot, not everybody's a hand, not everybody's a mouth. Everybody has their own niche to fit. But even if you don't conduct the Bible study, if it's with a friend or a family, you need to be there. Sitting there with the person that you brought to help you teach this individual, because you're the person they know, you're the person they trust, you're the person that they've seen the Christian life in and it's created interest. They will be more comfortable with you there. So be engaged in the effort, even if you're maybe not the direct teacher. But if you can conduct the study, If you can talk to them about the Bible, do the very best that you can. Now, God doesn't say we have to be perfect in it. He just wants us to do our very best, to give our best to His cause. You can offer correspondence courses to people that you know. If they're not up for a face-to-face and get their mailing address, you can offer email correspondence courses that are available out there for people. You can give them one of our free Bibles that we have. You can see Julie or myself or one of the elders to get one of those. It has a Bible, study Bible course in the front of it and a New Testament in the back of it. A wonderful resource to give to people, and they can study and learn. We have DVDs. You know, we live in a very video, visual-oriented society. Some people would rather sit down with a DVD, wouldn't they, than to sit down with us. That's all right. What did Paul say? I became weak to the weak. I become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some, right? So if they don't want to sit down with me, that's fine. Here, would you take a DVD then and just watch it at home in your free time? That's fine. I'm not going to force you to do it some way you're not comfortable doing. But I want Jesus Christ. I want you to get to know the Lord. I'm going to try to find a way to help you without alienating you. You know, a man named Trevor, I love Trevor and his wife Angela in Oklahoma. Wonderful people. Tried for so many years to have a baby and just could not. And then went through 6 or 7 years of just turmoil trying to adopt a child. And finally got a beautiful little girl from China. Just a beautiful child. And so happy for them. And they were so dedicated to God and to His church and prayer. And so much strength as they endured difficult times. Trevor made a goal one year. He said, I'm going to take 5 of these DVDs and I'm going to find 5 people to give them to that want to watch them. And he did it. You know, he said, I'm going to do that. And then when I get those 5, I'm going to figure out 5 more people. And he just kept adding 5, you know. But take it little bites at a time. I'm not asking you to find 1,000 people. Find 5. Find 3. Find 1. Bring them to Christ so that they can choose whether to follow or not. Knew a man named Matt who was a dentist, and he put them all out in his waiting room. He had them everywhere in his waiting room so people could, you know, if you go looking for a magazine, you're going to have to push the Lord out of the way first to get to Southern Living. You know, we're making currently business cards that will be generic with church information on them, our service times, our websites, our internet services that we have that lend toward teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to have those. I want you to take those and give those to people. And say, here, these are our service times. Because sometimes, you know, they go, I forgot what time your services were. Well, give them a card. Don't let them forget. Maybe they'll go check online. You know, curiosity is a wonderful thing. I mean, I see some websites for a church. I just got to go look just to see. So they might just go look and see. And that might pique their interest as well. We'll also talk about next week, because next week we're going to talk about not just our friends and family, the people that we know. We're going to talk about how do we reach everybody else. You know, take those cards, leave it with your tip at the restaurant. Roll your money around it. That waitress or that waiter might need Jesus Christ, don't you think? And who knows, they might be going through a tough time in their life. They unroll that tip and see that card and go, you know, I've been thinking about church. Maybe I need to check this place out. Send them in with your bills. Put them in the envelope. Somebody's opening that envelope. They might need Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about spreading seed everywhere, aren't we, folks? We're sowers. And we throw it, and whether it lands on the road, or whether it lands on the stones, or whether it lands on good soil, we're just chucking seed everywhere. It's going to grow somewhere. We got to get to sowing. So we're going to provide that opportunity as well for him. We'll talk more about that next week. But I want to challenge you this morning to write down 5 of your family or friends that you know are in need of Jesus Christ, need to be brought to Jesus Christ. And I want you to think long and hard about what you can do. Don't make it some kind of flippant thing that you, I'll figure out something. I want you to sit down and think long and hard. You know, we sit down, we think long and hard before we buy a car, right? We think long and hard about before we buy a house, or before we change a job. Folks, we're talking about people's souls here. All that stuff's going to burn up. And we think long and hard about those things, and we just kind of whatever on people's souls, right? Take those 5 friends and family members and think about them, and then this year, do something. anything to bring them to Christ, that they have the opportunity to accept or to reject Him, but make sure they have the opportunity to meet Him. Then they'll make their own decision. It is the only way that you will ever have a chance to help them. You know, is there anybody that we want more to be saved than our friends and our family, those people we love and care about the most? This is the easiest group to reach out to, right? Because, man, we have strong emotions tied to these people. We can't even find a way to do those. What chance do we have next week on just reaching out to the nameless, faceless people out there that we don't know? We've got to love them. We've got to desire with all of our heart to save them as Jesus Christ desired that. Each of us need to leave here today understanding that we each, regardless of our age, our attributes, have the responsibility to do something in bringing people to Jesus Christ. Maybe you will bring a Peter. Maybe you'll bring a family member. Maybe you'll bring a friend. Maybe you'll bring someone that might not ever be a Peter, but you'll see them in heaven. And that'll be a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm sure that of all these people that you could think about in your life, I'm sure that certain that the last thing you ever want to see or to know is that they were lost. Don't wait. We are not promised a second, much less a week or a year. Don't wait. Do something now. Now, I assure you, there will be nothing you do in 2012 that will compare in importance to this. I don't know what you do. I don't know what everybody here does in their secular jobs. Don't care. Because those are not important compared to what we're talking about right now. One soul. Jesus said it's more valuable than all the world. You know, they may not come to Christ, but you gave them the opportunity to know Him, to meet Him. And while most people will not accept Him, the precious few will come because of people like you who love them enough to say, come and see. Our invitation song, the words of it are powerful. They say, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing the years. Life gets going fast, doesn't it? How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ, the true light. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. Did He not also die for these lost ones? Then let us point the way into heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. This morning, that's our job, folks. The gospel has been given into our hands. We have been given the manifold wisdom of God. It is expected for us to then share that manifold wisdom of God to the world, that they might know truth, that they might know what is right in a world that seems to be pretty confused about it. We know it. Why are we not telling it? We need to make sure that we do. The Bible calls on us so many times. I didn't read all the scriptures about preaching the gospel or teaching the gospel. But it's clear there's plenty. And we have a responsibility. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we want you to come and see Jesus. We want you to meet Him. We want you to have the opportunity to know Him. We want to study the Bible with you. God's Word. Show you the life of Christ. Show you what He did for you and dying for you on the cross. If you need that this morning, find someone after this service, this congregation, and they will bring you to a person that can take you to Jesus. And the person you talk to probably can take you there too. If you already understand your needs, you've already studied the Bible, and you know what you need to do in response to the gospel, come this morning then, believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, choosing to live a life that is different than the one you've been living, to choose to live a life for Christ. Confess Him as the Son of God and be buried in baptism, rising from that water of baptism, having your sins washed away to be a child of God, and then go do as Andrew, go do as Philip. You've come to Jesus now, go bring someone to Him, right? Walk a new life, serving Him. This morning, if you're a child of God and you've forgotten your purpose as a child of God, you're not here just so you can sit and say, I'm a Christian. You're here so you can tell other people how to be a Christian. You've forgotten that. Change today. If we can assist you in any way, if we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, we want to do that. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.